Hi there, my romance reader friends. Welcome to Romance Readers Seeking Bestsellers. I'm your host, Isabel Peterson, and I'm thrilled that you're here listening while you're doing whatever it is you do while listening to podcasts. This podcast here is the one that brings you hidden gems of the romance genre. Books that should have been and still can be bestsellers. Books that aren't the top 10 books all over the socials and podcasts. And new releases that just might be the next bestseller. In today's episode, I talk to Nicole, a super fan of author Kennedy Mitchell, and we talk about Kennedy's book titled Mine to Keep, and I talk to author Kate Goldbeck about her debut release, You Again. So, are you ready to take a chance on a book that's not all over the socials like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook? Are you ready to uncover fresh new books with all the feels and swoon-worthy heroes, possibly written by an author you've not heard of yet? Well, I'm happy to do the introducing, so let's go discover some future bestsellers together. 3, 2, 1, yeah. All right there, romance readers. We are here with our super fan of the day, of this episode. This is 20. Episode 21. I'm so excited. This is crazy. Okay. So I have Nicole Craig. And welcome to the show, Nicole. Say hi. Tell people about you.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Well, I'm from Wisconsin, and I am a teacher by day. And I also do a lot of theater, and I'm a bowler, because if you're from Wisconsin, you have bowl. Huh. And I'm a Milwaukee Brewers fan, so... that consumes a lot of my summer, and of course reading romance novels and mystery novels. That's pretty much where I spend all my time. And I'm married. I've been married for 1997, so that would be 26 years.
Yes.
And
we just did 30, so yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So have you always been a romance reader? So you said romance and mystery. When did the
I started reading romance really super young. My mother had a box of books that she kept sealed down in the offshoot room of my playroom as a kid.
Got it.
And I read very early. And so I snuck in the box, I remember, because I didn't have anything to read. She turned me on to like Agatha Christie and Victoria Holt. I was like 10 years old. And so... I was like, what's in this box? And I went in there, and there were a bunch of Jackie Collins and Harold Robbins and things of that nature. And I didn't know what I was reading. Like, I didn't get half of it. But sure. That turned me into then Joanna Lindsay and Jude Devereaux. And at that point, then I was sucked in for good. Like, that's all I was reading.
Oh my gosh,
and of course,
that.
By then I was a teenager. So
and when
of course,
did your mom figure out you were reading these books?
I don't think she ever did.
Surprise, my pick.
My parents pretty much never cared what I was reading. I don't think because I was reading and I wasn't getting in trouble with kids and stuff like that. And I love to read. Being an only child, it's, you know, it was better because I could control that. When you play with kids out on the street, you can't always control the game and make it go the way you want.
Or when your brothers and sisters find out, I'm going to tell mom.
Yeah. No. So that was perfect the whole life. Deal. Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite subgenre within the romance world or a favorite trope? What about that?
When I was young, it was the historicals. I loved the Montgomerys from Jude Devereaux and all of the Joanna Lindsays with Fabio on the cover. And and then when I went away from it and I went more to mysteries, which was after college. And then I moved into reading Borders had erotica books on the regular shelves. I just got the publisher that
clutching my pearls in the regular shelves. Whoa.
No,
avant-garde Borders.
At the time, it was like, what is this? Like, you didn't find books about S&M and all of that on the shelves. And I was,
No, that was a separate room at ball, like at the Blockbuster kind of thing
yeah,
too,
no,
right?
this was like right there. And I'm like, what is going on? And so I got into like J.C. Burton and Shayla Black and some of that stuff, Lacey Alexander, Delilah Devlin, and it just started kind of getting darker and darker and darker. And then I went away from it for a little bit again, and then came back just before 2020, and I started reading, I don't know why, military protector romances. It's not my, it
No
was
shame.
jam at all. Like, it was not something I had been interested in before. And I just sort of got swept in that tide. And I read a lot of paranormal. Like, I liked that stuff too. So I had
Okay.
been reading paranormal up to, there. And I was like, that now it's like pretty much all I read, which is I read some sports romance. I read some contemporary stuff, like if it's about rock bands and things like that.
Okay.
But that's pretty much, where I've been living is in that romantic suspense because of the mystery end of
Sure.
everything.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's awesome. I love that. That's like such a great path. Are you an ebook reader or a paperback reader?
I always said I would never be an ebook reader because I love holding a book. I love the smell of books. Just
Course.
I love hanging out in bookstores. Like, I
Yeah.
am every meme about, I don't have money, I'm in the bookstore. I have 1,000 books. I don't need more
And you
books. I
need,
have more books,
but you're going to buy 200 more. Yeah.
Oh yeah. During the pandemic, I actually cataloged every one of my paperbacks and my
That would
hardcovers.
be
That was
fun.
something I did. It was over 3,000 books. I was like, I
Wow.
need a 12-step program.
Stat.
So, and I bought a Kindle because I thought, well, I'm going to break down. We were doing some traveling, and now I can't get the Kindle out of my hand because I like to read at night. But when the book hits me in the face, that hurts.
No, I hear
So,
ya.
yep,
And you lose your place.
yeah. I do. I have two Kindles now, so that while one, when I run it down to zero and I'm like, damn it, then I can
You have
just
the
plug
second one
in and
charged.
I can pick up the other one because it's fully charged. So I got smart that way.
Good girl.
And plus, we do a lot of traveling, and carrying books around is a pain and it weighs down the luggage.
Or if you like leave one accidentally when you were at whatever place you set it down and you didn't realize. Yeah.
I actually used to do that on purpose. Like, I'd take six books with me and then I'd go like, okay, I finished this one. And I'd put it in the drawer next to the Bible in the hotel room. And then it would be like, I'm like, oh, this could be good. I'll leave the Shayla Black right next to it with the
Nice.
size, and I'm like, that's gonna, I'm going straight to hell.
Somebody's gonna have a religious experience either way.
Yep. Especially with that book. But yeah,
I
so I'd leave
love
them
it.
behind. I'd leave them in the pocket in the airplane. I thought, well, somebody's going to need that, And I could just picture some businessman coming up and picking again Shayla Black and going, what is this? And opening it and go, I paid
There
another. Maybe he'll
you
learn something.
go. You're educating all the time. That's
Yes,
all.
exactly.
You're just a consummate educator, constantly. So when you start these books, do you ever not finish? Do you DNF books?
Never. I have a terrible compulsion that I must finish it. I might put it down and read
Okay.
something else. I can't remember. I had a book not too long ago that it was like, it was so hard to get through. And then but I have to finish them. And usually what happens is it's like, okay, this isn't keeping my interest. Maybe if I read it fast and get through it, then I can get to this one. So
Yeah,
it's
I hear that.
motivating.
So you just it's just like an ingrained you must
I
finish
have
the
to
books.
finish.
That's
I
okay.
have to finish it.
I DNF left and right. It's too many books.
Yeah,
I figure I've already bought it. It's like the author got their money. They're just
no,
not gonna get a review. And you leave reviews. Speaking of reviews, do you review books?
I
Do you
do.
review them no matter the star rating, or do you like only do 3, 4, 5? Or and where do you leave reviews?
I do most of my reviews on Amazon because I re because I'm reading off my Kindle. I have done, because I've arced for a few authors, I have done on Goodreads, but I haven't done in other places just because those are
Okay.
the places I go.
Yeah.
And I do leave reviews. I have left a two, I think, once. But for the most part, books are like, well, that's just because I didn't like it doesn't mean it's not necessarily written, that it's readable or anything like that. The two that I left was it was an
Okay, so
awesome
like, okay,
book.
you're a teacher. If you would give the book a D, or a if it was a class project that your student had to turn in, if you gave it a D, you would give it a two? Okay.
A one would be like, so many errors, and not like Amazon, or whoever does the Ingram or whatever, where the formatting's all bad and stuff like that. That's not
Yeah. Oh,
something that
thank
the
you.
author
Because,
controls. But
yeah.
and typos even too, I've seen, like, if you see the print book, it's not a typo. I don't know what happens there, but so I've never really
Okay.
been of that ilk. It's
Okay.
like
No.
things
That's
happen,
fair.
you know. I haven't
Yeah. I hear you.
have left reviews. I've kind of stopped now because of the writing, but because I feel weird about that. And I've
So,
stopped
wait, you're
arcing.
writing?
I am, yes. So I feel like that's kind of a weird line to cross.
It
And
is.
so I stopped arcing and stopped beta reading and all of that because it just felt like, there's a difference between helping somebody out and critiquing, or ask having them, ask you to read something, but then to give a review, it just felt weird. So stopped all
I
of
hear
that
you.
stuff.
So, listeners, just so you know, here's full disclosure. I did know Nicole is also an author. She has her, it's not your first, is it?
Yeah,
You have,
it's my
it's your
first.
first
Yeah.
coming out in January. She's actually going to be coming back to the show, in January when her book releases. So you're going to get to hear her again, and we're going to talk more about the writing then.
Yep.
But I just thought it, like, spoiler.
Yep.
Teaser. That's a
Yep.
teaser.
Yep.
A slow burn.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah, so she's gonna be coming back. So that's what the little writing nod was, because she didn't say so earlier. So
No.
she said it. I was gonna let it be quiet if she said nothing, but she said it. So I
It's
had to
fine.
bring that out. It's okay. How do you decide what books you're gonna read? Like, where do you find your book recommendations? Is it blogs? Is it Amazon recommends? What is it?
Well, it started with a book that I saw on a Kindle ad. And
Okay.
because I was reading mysteries and I was like, okay, I'm going to go on and I'm going to buy these mystery books that I read from going to the library. And I used to get books from the library on my iPad. And then I read this author and I was like, oh, I got to read more. So I read the entire catalog, because I
Oh,
also have
nice.
this obsessive thing of if I'm going to read one, I have to read them all. And
Yep.
because all of the characters
It's
are
a rule.
intertwined, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a law, and we are law-abiding citizens.
And
It's
for a
true.
while, I was reading from start to finish. Like, I have to read them in order of publication, and it's a terrible thing. And so I backtracked and I started reading through, and then I would be like, well, who are the other authors that these people are mentioning in the readers group or what have you? And that led to another author, which led to another one, and now my Kindle is exploding. And I have a hard time picking. So because I've been
And how
reading
many
all
books do you read? How was your reading pace? Are you like, do you read like 30 books a month?
I wish. My goal has been over the summers to read a book a day. So we're not just talking like novellas. I read 300, 400 page book a day, which is not abnormal, I've come to find, for a lot of people.
No, there's a ton of whale readers like that. It's
Yeah.
yeah.
I and
I'm the reader that, like, I will chew on every paragraph, like, oh, that was really
yeah.
good. I'm gonna do that again.
Yeah. And then it used to be that I would make sure that I could read like 100 pages a day when I'm at work. But now I've been reading more, like I'll get home and if I don't have something on my calendar that I have to do for either
Like,
job,
talk to me.
I will sit and read. I bought myself a chair out on the deck and I sit out there and I read, and I'll just, by the time I would get to the end of the book, and I'll be like, oh, I'm done. So I think last year I read like 250 books.
Wow, that's
This
a
summer,
lot.
some days I read like, one and a half or two, depending on the day or if we were traveling.
And you know, I think that's kind of the fun thing with the e-readers, right? Like when you're reading a paperback book, you know kind of where you are in the book,
Yeah.
right? How many pages are in your right hand versus how many pages are in your left, and you can like figure out like, oh, I'm almost done, I'm gonna keep going, or like I'm halfway through, I just need to take a break, right?
Yeah.
But the Kindle, it's like, ooh, wait, I'm done. What?
All of a sudden, there's the end. There's not more.
I love it. Awesome. So, how did you find and decide to read our super fan recommendation, which is Mind to Keep by Kennedy Mitchell? How did you learn about this book?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't remember the
Yes,
circumstances
the
under which
wrong
I found
answer.
her. I
Fail. I'm
know.
just
I
kidding.
was trying to think of it to, today I was thinking she's going to ask me this question, and I can't lie. I'm not a good liar. So,
That's all.
I'm sure that it popped up on an ad. I seem to
Okay.
recall the first book in the series. It's a very it's a cover that stuck with me, since I read the book, and so I'm guessing it was another Kindle ad, that it
Okay.
came up on. Or
Sure.
it could have been on
It's the
Facebook
protection
or
series, and yes, it's a man from nose down with a black leather jacket, shredded abs and some tattoos, and he's like glossy, like he's been baby oiled, and like you probably wished you'd been the one to baby oil him, I'm guessing. Maybe, possibly. We're gonna go with that.
Okay.
Don't mind you.
I have the tattoos, I will say that.
Okay.
And that Charlie, who's in Mind to Keep, is tatted and pierced. So that's
Yeah.
the big thing with him. But
Fabulous.
yeah, I just remember seeing that book, and then I devoured the next couple because there were a few out, and now she has a new one coming out in the next couple of months. So there's going to be
Oh,
another running
to this
series.
series. Okay. Right now it's eight, I think, is what I saw when I was over there. Yeah,
So
eight books.
book nine will be coming.
Right on. Well, let me read the book description for our
Okay.
listeners, and then we'll dive in more and talk about all the things.
Okay.
So this book is called Mind to Keep, a dark romantic suspense standalone, and it's part of the Protection series, which we just said is eight books. An unlikely friendship, a stalking ex, and a serial killer on the loose. FBI profiler Charlie Beckham prides himself on three unique talents: hacking any database, making women swoon with a cocky smirk, and letting no one see the desperate man buried deep. When a string of murders in Louisville, Kentucky requires extra help, he's forced to partner with the brilliant yet shy Special Agent Ryan Riggs to hunt the killer. Long nights of working the case fan the growing attraction between them, making Charlie question if just friends is enough. Special Agent Ryan Riggs is running from her past, a narcissistic ex to be exact. Determined to move on from the terrible breakup, she focuses solely on her career until him. Special Agent Charlie Beckham. Covered in tattoos, cocky as hell, and bad boy hot, he's exactly the type she should avoid at all costs, but can't seem to stay away from him. With more victims and at a dead end, Ryan does the unthinkable. She puts herself in the killer's sights. When the killer takes the bait and disappears with the woman Charlie's fallen for, can he piece together the remaining clues before Ryan becomes the next body found? Dun dun dun. Then it ends with Mind to Keep is the fourth book in the interconnected standalone protection series. Each book can be read as a standalone, but because of character crossover, reading from book one, Mind to Protect, is suggested due to foul language, discussion of emotional abuse and mention of suicide, and detailed intimate scenes, which is why we're all here, right? This book is recommended for readers 18 and over. There are actually 808 ratings on this book, with a 4.6 on Amazon, a 4.5 on Goodreads, which usually there's like a really big gap, and that's really close. which means it's really good. Listeners, you should be giving this one a try for sure. So tell me all what tell me about Charlie, tell me about Ryan Riggs, tell me let's not spoil.
Right.
Let's just tease. Okay. Let the teasing commence.
Well, I think one of the things that I like about this book so much is that and Kennedy does this in all of the books that from this series, is that Charlie's actually introduced in the book prior, and he's a significant part of that book. And so you get this teaser of him, and you know he's going to be the next hero, and he's he is all of these things that he's described as the ladies' man, and he's cocky, and he's always smirking and doing all those things. But he actually is something that I don't see very much, which is he falls first sort of scenario. Nice. And he's like not that. Afraid to admit it. You know, there's some denial of, you know, I'm a bad guy, I wouldn't be good for you. But very quickly it turns into, yeah, I want to explore this. And I don't see enough of that. Like, I seem to see a lot of friends to enemies kinds of things, or, you know, no, I'm damaged and I'm not good for you, and all of that. And Charlie's got some damage, but they don't really dwell on it. Ryan is really the one that's more damaged.
And her ex doesn't sound like the greatest.
No. And she's a strong woman, which is kind of an interesting dynamic, because she is very strong when she is in her supervisory special agent role. But when she's just Ryan, she's kind of a hot mess. She's got some serious relationship PTSD, a lot of insecurities. And to be honest, she reminds me a little bit of me, because when I'm in my job and I'm, you know, doing all those things related to my job, it's like, yeah, I had a kick-ass day today. And then when I do something that's not in that role, I'm always kind of questioning, you know, did I do that right? You know, how are people going to perceive that? Gotcha. Feeling like, you know, what you do is never enough. And so, and she has a lot of insecurities about body image and things like that. And it's all coming out of that narcissist ex. So now Charlie has to fix that. And one of the things is she's not, people don't fix overnight. So it's one of these things
where you
expect somebody to, oh, well, now I accept myself and everything. But all the way throughout, there's constant this, I'm great at what I do. I'm not great at what I do. I'm great at what I do. I'm not great at what I do. And he just keeps saying to her, I don't care. You are who you are. You're great. You're funny. And she has this lovely habit of verbal vomiting, like random items, like the percentage of koalas that gain STDs. And
oh my God, that sounds like my total jam. I love random trivia.
Yeah. Embrace the awkward, right? I absolutely love it. So she gets really flustered, and she makes a comment. Did you know how koalas can catch chlamydia? And they're in the middle of driving in the car, and he's like, what? And this is like their first solid time being spent together. And so then later on, he says something about, so tell me more about the pandas. And she's like, it's not pandas, it's koalas. Pandas are not interesting. And so there's this constant banter going on between the two of them. And she just, so then periodically when she gets nervous, she spouts something else about koalas or about STDs. And it's like, she's like, I went down a rabbit hole and I can't stop. And I know way more about this stuff than I should. So that's kind of how the friendship starts between them, the workplace friendship. And then it delves into more as they're going along. And they're really not, they're not hiding it, but they're not afraid to show it either to like the passersby. Obviously, they're not holding hands and stuff in the office. But it's one of these things where they're just willing to go with it and see what happens. And that's
they're both from Louisville. So they don't, it's not like one would have to relocate to the other state, the other city.
They're in Louisville for the serial crime. And they're both from the Washington office with the FBI. She, I believe, is from
FBI. Right. Yeah. I read it and I still like forgot it. I have the worst brain. Okay.
She, I think, is from Seattle originally. And I can't remember where Charlie is from, but they end up working in, the Washington office. It's a very Criminal Minds-esque kind of
it.
book. So if people like Criminal Minds, they should like it.
So we have murder, we have mysteries to solve, which is another one of your favorites. So yay, we've got banter, we've got realism, we've got awkwardness, which is the funny part. And I love it. This sounds great. This sounds absolutely fantastic. And I think I need to, it is in KU, so I think some of these are gonna land in my Kindle. Like immediately. Because no, this sounds, I love when the heroines are realistic, and I love the notion that our hero is the one that he's kind of got his stuff together.
Yeah,
He's
he
gonna
does.
fix her. That makes me very happy.
And I think
Makes me very happy.
the cool thing too is that she's willing to experiment. The last couple of books, she's actually delved into
Kennedy, we're talking
MFM.
about?
Yeah, Kennedy. She's delved
Okay.
into MFM, which
Nice.
some authors are not comfortable with that, but she actually
Oh,
went to
I'm
Europe.
very here for that.
Bring it on.
I even love the MMF, and I recently read an MFF, and that was, I had absolutely zero problems with it.
But she went to her readers, and because of branding and everything like that, she
Sure.
actually went to us and said, how would you feel about this? And put a poll up, and it was just astronomical. People were like, yes, bring it on, And so two of the books in the Protection series, the last two, are MFM, and then she has one in another series, or that is MFM. And so she's not been afraid to kind of break that barrier. Plus, she's also got a very dark sense of humor on top of the awkward. Like a lot of her female characters have the awkward. And some of her serial killers are like, where did you come up with that? It's wow. I think one of my reviews started with, buckle up, it's a dark ride. I mean, it was,
Yes.
I put the book down
Okay,
and I'm
so
like,
I'm gonna have to check with you before I read these, because I can't do the dark. And that one, I'm not gonna lie, the title of this one, when I said dark, I was like, oh, maybe my tender heart. I don't, but we're gonna have to talk more, Hickel.
yeah, the next book in the series actually, which is Mind a Hole, that's the dark one. That's got a
Okay.
really nasty serial killer in it, and it's got some triggers. So
I don't know if it's the triggers. Well, yeah, it's like the non-consensual.
oh
I
yeah, it's
can't.
not like that. It's not like that.
Okay, that. Okay.
Yeah,
I
no, you
also, yeah. Okay. And when like little people, like, children are being, even if
Oh,
it's like their past wound, that I have a
yeah.
hard time
Yeah.
with.
There, she doesn't do a lot with children, with kids in her
Good.
book. There
Well,
have been a
I'm actually
couple.
reading her bio right now. So here, let
Okay.
me share Kennedy's bio here on Amazon. It reads, so there might be things that are changing because I don't know when she published this one. So it says Kennedy lives in Dallas, Texas with her husband, 8-year-old son, and two golden doodles. So again, I don't know how long ago, so who knows, the kid could be 12. A bookworm at heart, Kennedy loves to snuggle up in bed or by the campfire with an unputdownable book. Her novels are stuffed full of humorous banter, the edge of your seat suspense, and enough steam for a great facial. If you like your heroine strong, yet vulnerable and sexy, tattooed heroes who can't keep their hands off their leading ladies, then this author is the one for you. And then there's an opportunity you can sign up for her newsletter. So there you go. All right. Well, Nicole, you and I are going to talk again in like late December or late November or December.
Okay.
And, then well we ha then we get to h listen to you again, and I'm so excited, I can't wait. And I we're going to talk again about what you've been reading since then
Sure.
and writing.
Good. Be happy to do that. Be happy to do that.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. This was great, and I am sure that I am not the only one who has putting this on their TBR. There's no way.
I hope
There's
not.
no way.
It's so good. Yeah, you'll love it, and you'll love Charlie. So he's my book
Fantastic. And I can't
boyfriend.
wait. And I'm looking forward to like actually kind of dipping my toes into all of them. I'm gonna check with you though on the dark stuffs.
Okay.
You're gonna be my personal consultant here.
Definitely, definitely will.
Awesome. All right, well, we'll talk again.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. thank you to the sponsor of today's episode, Cece Wood, author of Kidnapped by the Vampire, book one in her Devil Springs series. Check it out. When my great aunt died, she left me her home and business in Devil Springs. The last thing I expected when I came to sell them was to meet an actual vampire who happened to be the most beautiful man I've ever seen, or that he would kidnap me. At first, I was desperate to escape, but the longer I was the vampire's hostage, the less he seemed like a villain, especially when he made sure I had anything and everything I needed and protected me from anyone who tried to hurt me, especially when I was doing my best to be the most annoying kidnappee on the planet. The mouthier I became, the more he seemed to like it. He absolutely shouldn't be boyfriend material, but the longer I was stuck living with him, the more I wanted exactly that. But there are secrets in the town of Devil Springs, and some supernatural residents aren't exactly excited to have a human in their midst. In fact, one of them seems to want me gone permanently. And that, my friends, is Kidnapped by the Vampire. Book 2, Chased by the Alpha, a shifter romance, was released just a week ago, and I am told that this series is far from over. If you've been a longtime listener of the show, you might recognize the author's name, Cece Wood. That's because she was a guest on episode 3. If you've not heard that one yet, feel free to scroll back after this episode, of course, and listen to that interview almost an entire year ago. Thank you so much, Cece, for sponsoring this episode, and listeners, thank you for listening. And now, Kate Goldbeck. Hey, romance readers, I am here today with Kate Goldbeck. She has just released her first novel about not quite a month ago, because we're still in like that new release phase. This is our new release author. So on the 12th of September, she released the book called You Again. Kate, congratulations and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your debut novel. How exciting is this?
It's definitely exciting and very overwhelming, but it has also been such a long time coming that it's also sort of like a sense of relief that it's, I don't have to keep saying, you know, answering the question of when is it coming out, because gotcha. I've had to do that for like a few years. So it's like,
yeah.
It actually feels nice to just be able to say, yes, you can order it, you can buy it.
Well, and that's one of the, I think the hiccups with, I don't know, hiccup's not the right word, but with traditional publishing, because you are traditionally published by Penguin, right?
It's Penguin Random House,
right?
Dial Press is the
which
is the imprint.
Many authors, one of ones who I just adore, Upside Down and Backwards, Sierra Simone, she used to be with them, and she said when they merged, she was very disappointed that they didn't go with Random Penguin House.
And that would have been better.
I think so. But yeah, when you go traditional, things are a much longer path. And yeah, so did you always want to write? Was like, I mean, we just had our rapid fire questions. So podcast listeners, if you're listening, she actually answered this very question about what do you want to be when you're a kid? And that's going to be over in our Patreon. So for $3, you can follow us, but we're going to be raising those rates soon. Anyway. Your journey to being a writer, is it something you always wanted to do? Like, how did that happen?
So I've always been a film person. So I was a film major in college. I've worked at several different film and television museums, which is a very kind of strange career. It's like very niche. But I was always into film history and theory and things like that. And I always thought maybe I would be a screenwriter. Like, that's always been, if I had to pick like a second dream job, like it would probably be that.
I'll just tell you, screenwriting is very, very challenging because it's a very small club.
Oh, yeah.
I did it for about 8 years before I shifted to novels.
So oh, wow. Go. Okay. Well, now I have a million questions about that. But yeah,
we'll
I think that's probably the reason why I never really like did it. Was like, I had jobs and, you know, it's like so hard to like break into it. I think it's probably got to be harder than writing novels. I don't know. But
especially now that they're just like remaking everything because, you know, like we need another version of Footloose, please. I love, don't mess with Kevin Bacon.
nobody's probably buying original scripts at this point. So yeah, it's really
it's
hard.
gross.
But I had taken screenwriting classes and kind of tried to do that a little bit. And that's really the only kind of writing I ever did beyond like academic writing. So I only really started doing creative writing maybe like I think in 2018. I started writing fanfic. I started
Oh, no
reading
kidding.
it first.
Yeah.
So I was like a big enthusiastic fanfic reader, and
That's right.
I would post almost like not reviews in the sense that I was critiquing people, because you don't usually do that with fanfic, but
Okay.
I was more like making recommendations, I guess,
Gotcha.
like almost like long form recommendations, which is kind of unusual in fanfic. And that's actually how most people kind of knew me in this fandom. And I was doing that for a while. And after reading so much, I kind of felt like, I guess, creatively inspired. And I was like, I think
Sure.
I'm going to try this myself. So in 2018, I was like, okay, here we go. I had made some friends who were willing to kind of do like beta reading for me and kind of help me out a little bit. And I met a lot of people through writing, and it just kind of became my outlet. It was kind of secret, I guess, at the time. Well, it's secret for a lot of fanfic people. But I would do it at my desk at work. I would have my phone, and I'd have my Bluetooth keyboard hooked up to my phone, and I'd be in my
I
Google
love
Doc,
you.
and I'd be kind of like writing, which is terrible, but I was still getting my job done, so I think it's fine.
You know,
But
I think there is something to be said for like weaving in the creative elements for the day because it keeps your brain fresh.
It truly does. And it was like a game changer for me. I would wake up in the morning and I'd be thinking about like really excited about what I was going to write. And I was writing fanfic for about maybe like a couple years or something like that, like a year and a half. And actually my agent found me through my fanfic.
No
She
kidding.
was a, yeah, she was, this is like a very lucky story. And I have to
Yeah.
acknowledge that I kind of had like probably the luckiest thing that can happen to someone happen to me at that point,
Sure,
which
sure.
is that one of my readers happened to be a literary agent. And
I
in
think
like
this is also, if I just may, I think this is also E.L. James's story.
could
Master
be
of
I
His
don't...
Universe was the fanfic version
oh yeah
and was scooped up by. I don't know the agent's name.
Yeah, it's
They
definitely
retired. They made enough
happened.
money. They retired at this point.
it's definitely happened to other
It's
fanfic
super
people,
rare,
but
though.
it's nothing
Super
I'd
rare.
tell people to bank on
Yeah.
happening. But people in publishing do read fanfic. Like, I think
Yeah.
we can all say that now. Like, now that I've met a lot more people in traditional publishing and agents and stuff, like, they're definitely aware. But at this point, you know, to me, I was like, what? You know, I was like, Lord, it's still probably like the greatest like DM I've ever gotten
Of
from
course.
anyone.
Yeah.
But she asked if I had a manuscript, and I was of course like, I do not have a manuscript. All I have is like a bunch of fanfics that I've written. But she was kind enough to meet with me. It just so happened that she's in London, and I just so happened I was taking a trip to London. This is like
Oh, no
just
kidding.
before COVID started, to give
Oh.
you a sense of the time traditional
Sure.
publishing takes. And she told me all about publishing, and we talked about like how I could potentially almost like rewrite my one sort of like very lengthy fic, and it
Yeah,
kind of
yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
what I could do with it and some ideas. And she was just like so great. And it really felt like, oh, maybe this is a thing I could do. And then basically, as soon as I got home, I didn't ever go into the office again because everything shut down.
Oh,
And that
oh,
was
oh. I'm
like,
like, wait, you quit? What?
no.
Right,
Oh no,
COVID.
I was
Never
still
mind.
no, we were all just, you know, in our homes, because by literally we flew home and it was like lockdown.
Wow.
So I had sort of all of this time at home to work
Sure.
on doing that.
Sure, sure.
And that's when I wrote the first rewrite manuscript version. And I sent it to her, and she was like, okay, I'll represent you. So I
Wow.
was in the amazing position of never having to do the whole querying
Sure.
process, which is a terrible process. But we did go on submission.
For sure. So much so that I've never felt, tried it.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. So I haven't felt that pain, but we did have to do the whole like submission process for traditional publishing, which is its own kind of pain. It's kind of the same thing, but now you're with, you know, sending your manuscript to editors.
Yeah.
And so the book sold, I think, right around Christmas time in 2020. And then it's literally been in like editing, developmental editing, like until about a year ago. So it took like over 2 years of me reworking, rewriting, making like huge, huge changes to the manuscript in order to get it into like shape as a book. So that's why this has been such a long, long process.
And I hear you.
So I had never had to do that before. Because also when you write fanfic, you're literally usually writing one chapter at a time. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of move forward. Whatever happens, you roll with it. People
and
will
comment on it. And you're stuck with whatever you wrote in chapter
that's
one.
Right. you can't go back and change things.
Edit,
and
revise, yeah.
Yeah. So I had never been through that strenuous of an editing process before. And literally my editor was like, you need to write a new outline. So I had literally basically started from scratch, and kind of what ended up happening is that I kept a few of the scenes that felt really key and important to me. And then I kind of had to just rebuild the rest of it. So, it's quite different from what the fic I wrote back in 2018, mm-hmm. which honestly I'm happy with that as its own thing at this point. I kind of almost think of them as like two different works.
Sure.
And this is the version that was like properly, you know, like the pacing and, you know, all this stuff that you would expect out of like a traditionally published book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is part of this work. And I had to learn all of that because I did not know really anything about developmental editing before I started doing it.
Oh, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Yeah. And it's hard because like people are sitting here like, this whole part you wrote here needs to go. There's really no point to it or whatever. And you're like, what?
Yeah, there's a lot of killing your darlings
and
cutting whole characters and then patching things up to make sure that you're accounting for the fact that you got rid of like two characters and
exactly. Or yeah, taking two characters. Now this is one character, you know, mm-hmm. like, yeah, there's all sorts of different things. Sometimes you just like take those cut bits, keep them in a file and you work them into somewhere else.
Oh yeah. I have a lot of saved bits everywhere and it'll all hopefully get used at some point.
So the book we're talking about is You Again. Would you like to read the book description or will you allow me?
Oh, I don't think I've ever actually read it out loud. That's really funny. No.
Do you want to?
Like, you mean like the back of the book?
Sure.
I guess I have it here. I can read it.
Sure. It's up to you.
I haven't even listened to the audiobook yet. That's how like weird it is. Okay. It says, when Ari and Josh first meet, the wrong kind of sparks fly. They hate each other instantly. A free-spirited, struggling comedian, Ari likes to keep things casual and never sleeps over after hooking up. Josh, a born and bred New Yorker, has ambitious plans to take the culinary world by storm and find the one. They have absolutely nothing in common, except that they happen to be sleeping with the same woman. Ari and Josh never expect their paths to cross again, but years later, as they're both reeling from ego-bruising breakups, a chance encounter leads to a surprising connection. Friendship. Turns out, spending time with your former nemesis is fun when you're too sad to hate each other. And too sad for hate sex. As friends without benefits, they find comfort in late-night Netflix binges, swiping through each other's online dating profiles, and bickering across boroughs. Until one night, the unspoken boundaries of their platonic relationship begin to blur. I have not read that for like a year, but I remember trying to like edit. I didn't write that, but like, I remember trying to like edit it. So
yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Isn't that fun? I like putting authors on the spot with that kind of, because it's like, okay, and it's funny. I like it. Thank you for entertaining me. No, but it was well done. Also, sometimes I've heard my book descriptions read and I'm like, your emphasis was totally wrong.
Well, you know, part of that is that you have to give it up to the, you know, the reader and let them, well, you know, it's not yours anymore. So,
and then it makes me think, I'm like,
is.
Right. And then you're like, oh, well, maybe I should have worded that entire sentence differently. So anyhow, there you go. So this has been touted as a, an inverted trope, right? Or subverted, I guess it's both, right? Inverted and subverted, of, When Harry Met Sally.
Which yeah, it's basically, she's the Harry, he's the Sally, right? More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And how, in this, how did you come up with this movie to lean into as your writing exploration?
Well, I mean, it's actually kind of a stupid thing to do, because I think When Harry Met Sally is kind of held up as, like, you know, one of the greatest rom-coms, and you don't usually want to, like, you know, try to be like, I've written like something inspired by it, because that's just inviting people to be like, this was not as good. Like, why are you trying? It's like, oh. Nora Ephron. So it was never my intention to be like, well, I can do this better. But it was definitely one of my mom's favorite movies when I was growing up. So I had just, it was just like very, it was like a comfort film to me.
Gotcha.
Just when I was a kid, even though I was probably too young to like really understand the humor, I guess, but it just has very strong sort of like connotations with, sure. You know, sort of like,
well,
nice.
It's like the meet up and then the meet up again and then the meet up again. And yeah, the will she won't, yeah. Will they won't they? And I love it. All of it.
Yeah. And I think it, you know, the banter, the sort of the friends to lovers aspect of it. Like,
yeah.
I just, you know, and it, even as, like, I will say as an adult, and now I've seen the movie many, 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 many times and read the script many times. Sure. You know, it's just like a really well-crafted film.
Yes.
So, you know, I just, there's a lot, I think, to work there, because it is such a classic, you know, it's a classic story, and people, even people who haven't seen it have usually heard of it, and they're usually like, oh, I've never seen that. I should see that. So it's like,
that's the one where she says she has her orgasm in the deli, yeah. And I'll have what she's having. For those listeners,
everyone
who don't
knows
know
that.
The one we're talking about. That's the movie.
Meg Ryan faking the orgasm, which is again, I'm sure a thing that I did not understand really when I was like,
oh, for sure.
Watching it when I was like 8 years old or something. But yeah, it's like, it's such a, it has such a cultural, you know, like, legacy, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, legacy is a great word.
For rom-coms. But I did think that, you know, it would be kind of interesting to see, like, well, what would happen if this were kind of, like, if this took place today? Mm-hmm. What kinds of things would be different? And I felt really strongly that you'd kind of almost need to do the gender swap, because... Right. I think the Sally character, who's she's very like persnickety, and she likes things a certain way. And she's kind of sometimes very sunshiny, even when she's not, you know, like in a terrible mood, she'll just sort of like plaster a smile on her face. I think a lot of her characteristics have just kind of trickled down into like romance heroine, which sure. She's a great character. And that's why,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, great.
But it's a great personality, a persona.
Totally.
Yeah.
She's like, and that's a great performance too. I mean, I think a lot of it is also just down to like, it's such a charming performance that even though she has this like very specific, ridiculous way of ordering, it's like, there's all things that a lot of us can relate to. And I myself am basically a Sally. So I get it. But I thought it'd be interesting to just sort of like reverse and not have the woman kind of play that role in my version of it, and have the woman be a little bit more of sort of like the, you know, the more casual, blunt, a little like,
and also
sloppy,
brings in
messy.
A queer element, and brings in a queer element,
yes.
Which is very much today. Like, you know, a lot of people it wasn't necessarily acceptable back in 89, right? Wasn't that when it came out
in 89? Yeah. And I mean, in the When Harry Met Sally 1989 universe, there aren't any gay people. They're all white people too. I mean, it's homogenous group.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so it's like and they're also not dealing with any external issues either. It's pretty much just like their story of their relationship, which is, I think, what makes it like a very, you know, it's like a really engaging film because of that. But also when you're writing a whole novel, you need to bring in more of the world and subplots. It's very hard to write a novel where you're just following like the story of one relationship with they don't really have like a ton of friends or jobs or, you know. So I had to kind of like figure out how to insert some, you know, 2023 into that basic framework of a story. And that's always really interesting to me, to kind of just like figure out like what makes sense
in today's world as opposed to 30 years ago.
Right. So for me, that was things like, you know, she would be part of the gig economy because a lot of people, young people especially, are struggling to find like super stable careers. And if you're a creative person, you do have to do things, you know, like that. And so, yeah, there were just a lot of things like that where I felt like I could just infuse some, you know, sort of like modern touches in the story. Yeah.
No, it was great. Super, super fresh too. I enjoyed it immensely. So we have Ari. She's our heroine. She is a comedian. She is queer and who is more friends with benefits, doesn't connect sex exactly to romance. Those things can be divided and maybe should be divided. So, and then we have Josh, who is our very uptight, a place for everything, everything in its place. All of his matchstick carrots will be exactly the same size, which I adored. So he is a chef, and don't ever call him not a chef. He's not a cook.
You know, when I was trying to figure out what their careers were, I was trying to think of something for him that would lend itself to kind of that, you know, very like precise personality. And like chef, I mean, I know there's so many chefs in romance because like I think it's just like a trendy like
but there's so many, you know, different like kinds of chefs
career now. That's true. There's a lot of bakery, you know, it's like there's a wide range there. But yeah, it's just like a great career for like a rom-com because there's so many ways to show personality through the cooking.
And so many foodies out there, you just glom onto it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what is your experience with cooking? Like, because you have a lot of, I'm trying to remember, you had him do something to an orange. And I was like, I have never heard it called that, but I will take that.
Well, I have dated a lot of chefs.
Oh,
that's
okay. Okay.
I have not, you know, I have worked as like a waitress, but like, I don't have any professional cooking experience, but I am a really good researcher and I really tried to come up with like literally the most pretentious terms that I possibly could for him because I felt like he would not only be doing those things, but he would also be like using the French terms, you know, in his own head narration.
Because he spent 2 years in Europe getting trained.
That's right.
Yes.
So
nothing but
so that. Yeah, it was important to me that I really like look up, you know, just sort of like stories of like chefs that were like staging in, you know, in like famous kitchens in Europe. And I watched a lot of culinary shows and did just a lot of, you know, looking up things in like modernist cuisine. And I did date a chef while I was like on the tail end of editing this. And so I would like ask for info about like, you know, like service and things like
that.
I'm
not saying I'm researching you for a book, but.
Oh, I was upfront about it. I was like, look, I have a chef character. Like, what good stories do you have?
I love it.
So yeah, I would try to do as much research on that as I could.
Now, so Ari is a comedian. Did you also date comedians?
I have definitely dated some improv men. I don't think I've ever dated an actual stand-up. I've definitely dated some men who wanted to be stand-ups, but I would not call them proper stand-up comedians. The story about why Ari became a comedian boils down to just originally she was more of like a political consultant worker. Like she's a real like leftist, you know, sort of like she was running campaigns and things like that. And I got some feedback while I was on submission from an editor saying that they felt like Ari was too funny. Like just like too funny or something, and that was like a kind of a criticism, or like it didn't flow or whatever. And I thought about it and I was like, okay, well, when I had to kind of rearrange their careers a bit, I was like, you know what, if she's a comedian, it's not going to be a problem that she's too funny. It would just make it seem like more like that's how her mind works. She's like a funny person, and she has so that's actually why I initially got that idea. And then it kind of made sense to me too, that again, like I knew I kind of wanted her to be doing a bunch of different odd jobs, because you can't really make a living for the most part at being a comedian. So it all kind of like worked out nicely. But yeah, it was because of that too funny comment.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. She does deliver some really, really, really punchy lines. Which I had to be careful, because I read at night and my husband's usually asleep, and he often has to wake up at 4:30 to get to work. So I can't like disrupt his sleep, but that's the only time I get to read is at night. So, no, this is, it's super funny. It's clever, and I enjoy seeing the reimagining of the movie. And it's so much of a reimagining that it's not the same at all. Right. That's the fun thing about it. It is complete. Yeah. It's been lightly referenced, I would say, in the way that they're just the characters being kind of who they are, because nothing else is the same.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I've heard a lot of people say it's like a retelling. I think retellings tend to be a little bit more like purposefully like trying to follow the sort of script. But yeah, I think it's almost more like a kind of like a love letter to When Harry Met Sally in a way.
It's
like
your
homage or something.
Imagineering.
Yeah. Hey.
See what I did there? Okay. So where do you go from here? Are you continuing you again with some of the many colorful side characters for other books in a series, or are you doing another standalone or working on something? What's in your hopper?
So I'm doing two more standalones. I think I can say that. And as far as I know, they're not necessarily going to be in the same universe. I don't know. But I think at least this next one is taking place in New York. So it's maybe there could be a cameo, but they're not. It doesn't.
Do it.
I'm not bringing
Readers
in any of
that.
The side characters. But it's like it feels possible that like there could be a few cameos in there. But
a
yeah, the next one is
and
going
Ari
to be
is
a standalone.
On stage. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
I feel like I could weave
Chef
it in
Josh,
for sure.
Chef Josh is walking the tables, taking a break, you know, and. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, this is giving me some ideas. But yeah, it's basically my next book is going to be a similarly inspired by a different let's say classic rom-com. Okay. So that's sort of like the spin that I'm doing. But again, it's gonna be sort of like basically a new story, but the sort of basic premise is kind of a tribute to another rom-com. So
I like that. It's a tribute. Because that's not retelling. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's turning out to be a little more different, I would say, so far. Yeah. I'm still writing it, but
fantastic.
But yeah, it's kind of taking place within the dating TikTok. If anyone follows dating TikTok, where people like go on TikTok to talk about the different dates they're going on,
that's not a thread
the
I've ever
doing that. Okay. So yeah, that's been really fun. I've been doing so much research. I love dating TikTok now. So yeah.
I might check it out. I will have to like do it on a different account though, because I don't want to like mess up my
Oh, your algorithm will forever just be like, get ready with me for this date. And yeah.
Too funny. And so this is a traditionally published book, therefore it is available everywhere books are got. Right, so
yes,
Amazon.
Yep, there's eBooks and Noble, audiobook. Yep, it's at all the places you would probably buy books. I don't know if it's at like the real chain stores. Like, my boyfriend went to Target yesterday. And he was like, "I looked for it and I didn't see it." And I was like, yes. "First of all, you don't need to tell me that."
And it's only month one.
Yeah, we'll see. I know. I feel like it's like every writer's dream to like get into like Target or Walmart or something, which I would love it. But I have also seen it at some airport bookstores, which is another dream because like you
Oh,
always
how
want to like
fun.
see your book at an
Of
airport.
course.
So yeah, it's pretty widely available. So
Oh, that's
yeah.
awesome. And where can people find you?
Well, I'm
Well,
Kate
you're on
Goldbeck.
TikTok.
Basically everywhere. I am on TikTok. That's probably like my least popular. I have like no followers on there, but I just like do it for fun. But yeah, I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm still on whatever the old Twitter. I'm on X,
Which I
begrudgingly.
just did you hear there now? He now wants to start charging everybody to use the platform.
Yeah,
I don't
good luck
understand.
with that one.
He's such a nitwit.
But I'm on all the substitutes that we're not sure where we're going yet. I'm also on all of those as Kate Goldbeck, so I'm pretty easy to find on any socials.
Yeah, we'll have your links in the show notes for that as well as for your book. And thank you so much. You are an absolute delight to chat with. Oh, I will also point out that there's a very fun a discussion with another author that is also has her debut coming up in
Oh, Kate
December.
Robb.
That was
Yes.
very entertaining. And then a whole list of places to go in New York City. So readers, when you get this book, read until the very, very, very end. Okay. Thanks again, Kate, for coming, and I hope to see you again, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hey there, my friends. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kate Goldbeck and with Nicole Craig, getting to know Mind to Keep as well as you again in reverse order. I didn't realize that this episode is kind of out of order here. Normally, I start with what I've been reading, but I will go ahead and insert that now. It's been a crazy week with house guests from my husband's aunt and uncle to my mother, who I have to leave soon and get her to the airport. So that's also why this episode is late. But you know what? Family, we love them and we do what we got to do. So I'm currently reading actually our episode sponsor from last week. That's Elena Markham's Once More With You. And I'm also reading our Patreon book club selection. The gal that is helping me out, Natalie, she has been a listener of the show since the very beginning and a patron since we first opened up those Patreon doors. She had the idea that we could use one of the former month's superfan book recommendations for the next month's book club. So October 19th will be our Patreon book club, and we're going to do the book Coming Clean by Jen Trinh. That was the book recommendation brought to us by Kata Kiss last week, and it is really funny. The dialogue is great. I love all the imagery, the emotional wounds of both characters. I really think you guys are going to love this book for book club, and you can join Patreon still for just the $3. So join us over at Patreon on the 19th. We will have that book club. This first Friday, we're going to be having our first Friday trivia over on Patreon. That's going to have trivia questions from last month's episodes, excuse me, all both of them. And there's going to be a book hangout on the second Tuesday. And still trying to zero in on our author host for our Zoom party on the fourth Monday. So lots of stuff coming up. You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/romancereaderspodcast. Information is also going to be on the website, romancereaderspodcast.com, and all sorts of stuff. Check the show notes. We'll have more information there, as well as links to the books we talked about in this episode and to Kate Goldbeck. So there you go. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, while you're out there looking for your next read, it's okay to check out the bestsellers, but also look for those not yet bestsellers. You never know what love you'll find between the pages. Thanks so much. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.